Turn your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 2. My goal as a preacher teacher is to take perhaps some hard things and make it simple enough for me to understand so I can make it simple enough for you to understand. Amen. There's no sense in having a bicycle in the garage if you don't know how to ride it. There's no sense of having a Bible if you can't understand it. And I believe that God wants to open our minds to what the Word of God says. I love that screen. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where it's been cloudy and then all of a sudden the sun comes out and there is a warmth on you. It changes your whole disposition, you know? And that happened today. It rained and rained and then all of a sudden the sun came out and it was just absolutely gorgeous. And your outlook is different. Well, the same is true when you come to church. You could have a cloudy day, and all of a sudden the S-O-N comes out. And it's like radiation. When people are sick, many times they'll give them radiation treatments in order to kill the bad things, to be able to have a better life. I believe that when we walk into the house of God, there is a radiance of His Spirit that takes care of a lot of issues. We don't have to understand the issues. Just get into the presence of God, and God takes care of them. We make this thing way too complicated. I remember talking to a man that I've been talking to forever about baptism, and his excuse was, well, nobody understands the Bible. And I said, hey, you finally got something right. We don't understand everything, but we're obedient to what the Word of God says. And if you have to understand before you're obedient, you're going to miss out on a whole lot of things. So Acts, the second chapter, verse 25, it says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. We just read that in Psalms, the 16th chapter. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Amen. And the word countenance there is presence. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy presence.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome scripture, folks. Amen. You know, it's really got to get in the presence of God. I'm having some got to get into the presence of God. Bad day. Got to get into the presence of God. Amen. It's not another Advil or Excedrin. It's not.
Amen.
Then 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Starting in verse. Let's start in verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. These are the earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Lord, please bless your word, anoint it, touch the pulpit, but touch the pew.
Amen.
It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have this treasure or deposit of wealth in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power or miraculous power may be of God and not of us. In other words, God is saying, I'm giving you the power, but it can't be about you. It's got to be about me. You don't hand the keys to the car to a six-year-old and say, have a good time. You have to know that they're going to be responsible. And what God is saying is you need to be responsible if you want to handle the power that I want to give you. So according to the scripture, God has placed in us a deposit of wealth that is miraculous power, which gives us freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the church, with open faces like a glass jar, reflect the Lord's glory to others that are around us as we are being changed into his likeness. Boy, I'm so glad you sang that song. As we're changed into his likeness from glory to glory by the Spirit of our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So what's happening is when we get into the presence of God, not only do we have this joy in his presence, but there is a changing that happens within us. There's a flesh that always wants to rise up and do this and think about that and tempt it in so many other ways. And when we're in his presence, God's saying, nope. It's not going to work that way. I'm going to change your nature just by you being in my presence. So this treasure that is within each of us is the Spirit of the Lord. It is also called the glory of the Lord. And that word glory in the Greek means something very apparent or seen, or something that is manifested, that was hid in darkness. Now, you know, it's in light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 said, for God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, God has put his glory or his manifestation in us that our light or revelation of Jesus would shine out that the rest of the world could see. And when people look at us, whether you understand it or not, they're seeing something different than what they see in everybody else around them. We become a lighthouse that gives direction to other people. What church do you go to? Didn't say a word. What church? It said to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that word face means appearance of Christ. We are Christians, so we should have an appearance of Christ. The word glory, very apparent, manifestation of God. So the same God that created the world, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has now allowed his light to shine in us, the knowledge of his glory within us, a changing, if you will. And that glory that people see is because of the very apparent manifestation of God as God appears to us through worship, through prayer, through his presence. And when we see the word glory, it means manifestation or a display of God. This is so important to understand, that if we're going to be Christians, we have to get into his presence.
Right.
Not an hour a week.
Oh, come on.
Not even 6 hours a week. But on a regular basis. In the days of the tabernacle in the wilderness, this glory was called the Shekinah glory of God, or the Shekinah presence of God. It was a visible manifestation of the presence of Almighty God in the Old Testament. They literally saw God in a glory cloud. Whenever God chose to speak to Moses, the cloud of God's presence filled the holy place. And everybody saw it. Not everybody was in it. And became the light of that sacred room that had no windows in it. So the cloud and the light entered into that holy place. Then on Mount Sinai, God spake out of the smoke and fire to manifest his presence. In the camp, God spoke out of a cloud at the door of the tabernacle. To Israel, this glory cloud was known as the manifestation of God in order to guide them, protect them, give them provision, and to communicate. Whenever they saw the cloud, they knew God was going to speak to them. You know, when God moves here and you can physically feel the presence of God, you know God's here because of the reaction of people that are here. You're thinking, oh, God's going to talk to us. And he does. Later, when Solomon's temple was being dedicated, this same glory cloud came down into the temple and filled the building with the presence of God to the point where the high priests were paralyzed. They could not minister. I remember seeing a picture in Ethiopia when Brother Billy Cole was ministering, and there were literally 200,000 people under just an enormous kind of tent thing, and the picture showed a cloud that was hanging over the tent, the glory of God. Paul, who was well versed in these manifestations of Israel, said that individual saints have been given a measure of this glory within us. A visible manifestation of God on us and also in us. Many times saints are depicted with a halo. And that'd be kind of nice, ain't walking around with a halo. But there's an aura of God, I believe. I really do. That as we become the vessel God wants us to be, that manifestation shines through us. I've heard old-time saints that were so dedicated, so in tune with God. I heard of one situation where a man prayed so much, got so close to God, that he was walking through a shop area and men were falling down and weeping because of the Shekinah glory of God. We are the tabernacle, and I believe that God wants a glory cloud. You and I have irritated a lot of people just by walking in the room. The people who didn't want anything to do with God. And yet there are some who have been looking for God, and they know there's a difference. And when the sickness comes, and when there's a problem, and when Aunt Bessie has a problem, where do they go? Not to their pastor, not to their church. Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 3 and 13 that when Moses remained in this glory of God for 40 days, that he changed into the same glory that the people could not even look at his face. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, please. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that word glory again is the presence of God. And from the time we come into the presence of God, you may not understand this, but by the time you walk out of here, you're different than when you came. Because we are changed, just like the song said tonight, you are changed by the presence of God. I don't know how it happened. I walked into a Pentecostal church, never wanted to be there, never wanted to come back, never wanted to open a Bible, but all of a sudden there was a change that happened within me that said, ho, ho, something's going on. And as the glory of God changed the appearance of Moses, so it also changes our appearance to those that are around us. But even more important, it changes me. Those people who want to be in church all the time, want to be in church all the time. Pretty deep, huh? But those who aren't in church very often, don't want to be in church very often. Wow, I'm impressed with me. Verse 18 said, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to glory, manifestation to manifestation. So we are changed by being in the presence of God. More treasure, more power, more provision, more protection, more light. I need this.
Amen.
I need that. Get into his presence. Amen. I wonder how many people want to get into the White House in order to, I got a situation I want taken care of. Or to the governor's office, somebody who has power, authority. And we can walk right into the office of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is transforming power. That is why it is so imperative that we come to church and worship God. It's transforming.
Amen.
Amen. You're not in church for 2 weeks. All of a sudden, something reverts back to the old individual because you haven't been in the glory of God. As we stand in the presence or the glory of God transfigures us into the nature of God. We now take on his likes, his nature, you see, and it kills the nature that we were born with. This treasure of divine glory is not just for a good feeling, but to exchange our old life for a brand new life. And sometimes we think it's just optional because, well, I felt God last week, that's good enough. It's not about your feelings. It's about a change, a transformation, a metamorphosis, if you will, into something that wants more of God instead of drags you to church. It is a metamorphosis or transformation every time we are in his presence, and that's why it's so important.
Amen.
You see, and we can have this at home. But it's so much better when we get together. Paul wrote, we are changed into his image from glory to glory. So we become a lighthouse to a darkened world, and we are changed into the image of the Lord by being in his presence. But let's also look at the next benefit of his glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Starting in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So by having the Holy Ghost, even though we're troubled on every side, we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Well, how does that figure? That's because of the glory that's in you. You see? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, when we've got the peace of God, that spirit within us, even though we have these problems, now all of a sudden, we're not as perplexed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How? Glory to glory, amen. Presence of God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. One day, we're going to be in the full presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe God desperately wants his full presence to be with us right now, but we're in mortal bodies. We probably just blow apart because of all of the power. Jesus Christ was like a transformer. You know, we get the electricity from the power plant, but if there wasn't a reducer of that power, it wouldn't be useful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Moses came down from the mountain after 40 days with God, the glory of God was all over him. He then single-handedly withstood idolatry and destroyed the golden calf. You have to be in the presence of God to withstand some of the things that are going on in this world or even with people that you know. I'll tell you what, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd lose it. Not only with strangers, but people that I know better. He purged the camp of sin and restored true worship of God after all of these people just went wacko. He was one man against thousands of men, think about it, yet not one man lifted up a weapon against him. So great was the shining glory of God upon his face. He didn't have to call for how many want to stand by me. He just declared truth, because now he has been in the presence of God, and there was a power that nobody could stand against him. I love that verse when we find that the prophet is Daniel's in the lion's den, and the king comes and says, "Has your God protected you?" He said, "God has shut the mouths of lions because of my innocency." If you really want God's protection, you better have your hands clean. Clean up your language. I'm not just talking about inappropriate words, but words that don't edify. The greatest revival didn't come because men had Bible knowledge, not because of their oratory, not because of their position. It was because of who they spent time with. Amen. If you spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ, all kinds of things start to happen in your life that you couldn't possibly do on your own. And I know my flesh, when things aren't going well, I don't want to spend time with God. But the only thing I can do is spend time with God and say, "God, this is not my problem. This is not my situation. It is not my battle. It's yours." Would you turn to Acts 4 and 13? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Amen. Boy, if I just would have graduated top of my class in Bible school, if I only had a minister's license in my pocket, No. Amen. You want power? You got to spend some time with the one who gives the power, you see. Amen. Apparently, Peter and John didn't have the education or the credentials to minister, but what they had, they learned to enter into the ministry of the glory of God. Amen. They had been endued with power from the glory of God. I've heard people over the years speak of having a healing ministry, a deliverance ministry, a teaching ministry. Yes, and all of these exist, but not without the glory of God. Amen. You know? Oh, I'm going to study on healing. I'm going to learn about every scripture there is about healing. You know, I want to go to as many revivals as I can where there are guys who have that gift of healing and maybe even have lunch with them, you know? Ain't going to happen. Spend some time with the healer. Hallelujah. Ministries don't come by going to Bible school or a ministerial license. Yes, these are all good things to have. We need to study to show ourselves approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Yet the real ministry comes by spending time in the glory of the Lord or the manifestation of his presence. We may not have anything else going for us, but such as we receive from God, we then can give to somebody else. In studying the Word of God, I've seen so many things over the years that I just feel compelled to tell people. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what position you have, but as you study the Word of God, God wants to reveal these little nuggets in the Word of God. And then I'm telling you, you can't help but tell somebody about what you saw in the Word of God. I've taught hundreds of Bible studies, and there's these little jewels in the Bible study. It didn't rain before the flood, you know, Genesis 2 and 5. And when people find out, they read it in the Word of God. They're not getting it from somebody's opinion. They see it. They just can't help but blab. they have something that they need to share with somebody else. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Turn to Acts, the 5th chapter. Acts 5 and verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Okay, so by the hands of the apostles, there are all these signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because they were all in agreement, Solomon's porch. In other words, they went to church. That's where the power was. It's the glory of the Lord that transforms people from what they were to what God wants them to be. You see, I know what God wants me to be, but how to get there, I don't know how. But as I'm in the presence of God, it seems like, oh, that's easy. You know? It was the glory of the Lord that transformed Moses from a murderer, fugitive, dropout of society, hothead, complete failure, but when he got into the presence of God. I was on my way to dinner with Brother Mackey Sunday night, and he said, Brother Schumacher, pray that I have the will of God, because he's living in Michigan, his daughter is in Florida, and I don't know, should I be selling my house and getting closer to my daughter now that his wife has passed away? There's nobody in the area, and he's just lonely right now. And I said, well, that's easy. It's easy. I told him a little story about what happened to me about 5-6 years before I ever started pastoring. We had a retail clock shop at the time. I had started an insurance agency, and I was being pulled between the two, and I didn't know what to do. We had a group of people at the house. I told them what the dilemma was. I said, you know, could we pray about this and see if God would let me know? And a message came in our living room with about 8 people, and God says this. I never forgot it. I think about it all the time. He said, you perceive right in coming to me for answers. But he said to me, you decide whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy, as long as you're doing it according to my word, it is your decision, and I will bless it. I have a ministry for you, but you're not ready for it. When you are, I'll give you perfect direction. Too many people have to pray about what shirt they're going to wear in the morning. God has given us a brain, you see, likes and dislikes. Some of my likes would not be your like. But God is into it, because delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That means you can make your own decision and you do not have to have God confirm it, as long as you're doing what God wants. Brother Mackey just shook his head. He said, that's it. That's what I need. I don't have to have a voice come from heaven. I don't need... You're preaching all of the time and you're getting the word of God for people sometimes that you don't even know, but sometimes you're not hearing from God for your own life. Hallelujah. And all of these things happened to Moses before he could lead hundreds of thousands of people into a better life. So what have we been? We all know very well our past, including even this week. But the presence of his glory transforms us from glory to glory. Maybe we stumble in here thinking, God, how could you even love me anymore? And God said, okay, just get into my presence. Amen. Do something, say something, or don't do something right. And yet, the mercy of God allows us to feel his presence, not for our joy, but for our transformation. Because I need a transformation. Amen. Paul said he was the least of the apostles because of his past, but he was clearly the greatest because he got into the glory of God. David had all kinds of trouble, but we read in Acts, the second chapter, that he was face to face with God all of the time. Now, this glory or manifestation can work both ways. 1 Corinthians 1 and 29 says that no flesh should glory or manifest or display itself in his presence. If there's anything that God hates is our flesh. Amen. And we should develop a hate for our flesh as well. Verse 31 says that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not what you've accomplished, not what you have become, what your reputation is, what your title is, doesn't matter at all. So our flesh wants to show off and make a display. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's the basketball player, the football player, the baseball player. Nothing wrong with sports. Can't imagine somebody being worth $120 million. But all of a sudden, it transforms you into, look who I am. You got to be careful, because if you have that kind of attitude, then God will not cannot, but will not bless you, because you'll self-destruct. Amen. There is a fine line in worshiping God and making a display of ourselves. No attention should be directed to us as individuals in worship. It's fine when we are alone. Get a hold of God. Get as crazy as you want. But when people are saying, oh, then what happens is we're distracting from the glory of God, and then the flesh is glorying, you see. But although the glory should be directed to our God, people need to see the light in us, or the glory of God in us, that is demonstrated in many ways from our countenance, the display of the fruit of our spirit. When people see a meek and quiet spirit, or just standing with tears streaming down their face, or their arms lifted up in worship for 25 minutes, you know, hey, God is all over that individual. Amen. Then God gets the glory and the flesh isn't. When we display the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance, against such is no law, then all of a sudden, people are saying, wow, there is a presence of God in that individual. These are all displays of God's glory to other people that are around us. Our modest dress is a display of God's glory to people. We stand out now like no other time in America. I was saying something to somebody yesterday. I said, you know, I've never, ever seen either one of my grandmothers wear anything but a dress or a skirt. Working in the garden. So us Pentecostals in the 50s or 40s, even the 60s, we didn't stand out. But now we stand out and brings glory to God. I remember Brother Little saying, hey, holiness isn't for us. It's for those people outside. Because we're the neon signs. There's something about them. Amen. It's our language. It's our habits. All a manifestation of God's glory in us and on us, even to the way we wear our hair. It is to the glory of God, according to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. The long hair of a lady is her glory, but it doesn't belong to her. It belongs to God.
Amen.
In our display of God's glory in our lives. So we are constantly displaying God's glory to the world. Moses said to God in Exodus 33 and 18, while he was with God on Mount Sinai, I beseech thee, or beg thee, show me thy glory. Now, isn't that what we say every time we come into church? God, let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. Well, that's a wonderful thing that we are reassured because of the presence of God, but it is even a greater thing that we're transformed in the presence of God. Our nature is changed in the presence of God. There is a power in the presence of God that we can come against evil like Moses did, and everybody backs down because we have been with Jesus. We were ignorant, but we've been with Jesus. Let your manifestation be in this place and change us to be more like you, that people can see you in us. Turn one more time to our last scripture in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If there isn't liberty, maybe God isn't with us. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Wake up in the morning. I know there needs to be some changing going on. You know? I look in the mirror, there's some changing going on. But every morning, we need to have some fresh change in our lives as well. Amen. Otherwise, what happens is this flesh wants to creep in and take the glory. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Amen. I've come to the conclusion that my drill sergeant told me a long, long time ago. He said, you're nothing, you're nobody. I'm starting to figure that out. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Wednesday is my fast day, and generally I don't have any problem, but today I was afraid to take the garbage out by myself. Sometimes it's a little harder, but there's always a reward. We just have to make some commitments. Amen. He knows what's going on in your life. He does. Amen. He wants to fix it. Yeah. What a loving God. Amen. What a loving God. Right. The altar's open. Would you come?